All right. Well, thank you for coming today and worshiping God. He deserves all the worship, doesn't he? Amen. Especially after that, where he's made you flawless. No matter what you've done, he still loves you. So let's go ahead and stand as we read. If you would turn to Hebrews 12:1, and then we'll go ahead and as soon as you find it, stand so we can go ahead and read God's holy word. Therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so entangles us, and let us run the endurance, the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for the message you have given me, Lord, and just help me to speak your truth through the word, and help me to keep my eyes on you through this whole message, Lord. And we ask that you just open the eyes of everybody here, Lord, that may have a pain, a hindrance that is holding them back, and just show it to them, Lord, so that they can run that race, so they can finish it proudly with you going, good job, mighty servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, what is Celebrate Recovery, or we call it CR? I'll kind of do the acronym from now on. All right. CR is a Christ-centered recovery ministry. But what are we recovering from? God has given me this. We are recovering from living in a fallen world. We, no matter what it is, the pain of whatever God has given us, or whatever the world has given us, God will take away. We need to let go of trying to do it ourselves and trying to mask the pain with whatever it may be, alcohol, anger, bitterness, all the other stuff. So because of what Christ has done in this ministry, he has freed me from the bondage of my sexual addiction. He is helping me accept the pain, anger, doubt, and guilt I feel when I think of my friends I treated as a medic while I was deployed. He is helping me live with ADHD after being diagnosed at the age of 41. I thought my mind was just normal as everybody else, and it's really not, but for more than one reason. He is teaching me how to be a ministry leader, how to train and mentor people biblically. He is teaching me what it means to be a spiritual leader at home and at church. In a little over 3 years, all that he has done for me is for his glory, to show his grace and mercy and love he has for us all. All of this is just the tip of the iceberg, though. He has more he wants to do, more he wants to work in me, more he wants to make me more like him, more Christ-like. He knows when he will be done with me and when he will be ready to call me up to my eternal home. So, what is keeping us from running the race? And what does that mean by running the race? It is God's plan for you. It is the plan God has laid out before you, and that is the race he wants you to run. So, what is hindering us in NIV, it talks about hindering us. And that just, when I read that as well, it made me think of, well, some of you guys heard it Thursday because God kind of planned this. I didn't know it. Because when I opened up to study for Thursday, it was actually the same exact verse as I was doing for this. So when I think of hindrance, I think of when I swam in high school. And two, three times a year, we'd put this bungee cord on us. And the whole point was to try to make it across the pool and touch the other side. Of course, that bungee cord was a little short. So you'd be swimming hard, swimming fast, and you feel like you're about to touch that wall, when all of a sudden you just start going backwards. and you're getting pulled backwards because you're just running out of energy. You can only go so long, so hard, so fast, so strong on your own, and then you start getting pulled backwards. And that is some of these hindrances, and that's what these hindrances, these encumbrances, that they're doing to us, some of these sins, and they're pulling us backwards from God. So what is keeping us from running the race? So the first thing is denial. So CR defines denial. Sorry, I've got dry mouth already. CR defines denial as a false system of beliefs that are not based on reality. You're lying to yourself, right? That's what that is. You're lying to yourself. And a self-protecting behavior that keeps us from honestly facing the truth. Those are our walls we build when we get hurt. We just keep on building those walls to keep us safe. So in Matthew 23:27 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness." So the scribes and the Pharisees, what did they do? They showed their outward appearance to the world, right? With their flesh to the world, really. Showing themselves as spiritual. Hey, I know all these verses. I pray these great prayers, these long, fantastic prayers. But on the inside, it was all about me, me, me. And that's how we are every day. A lot of these things that hinder us are selfish. My sexual addiction was selfish. It was about me. So let's talk about, so one thing CR likes to do is acrostics. They are awesome at acrostics. Almost every lesson has an acrostic. So I'll kind of go over the acrostic for denial. But first, let me talk about how I lied to myself. So I talked about in there the struggles I deal with now that I still deal with the pain, anger, and doubt and stuff with how I treated my friends, my comrades, the locals, everybody downrange when I was a medic. I can tell you, I can go through my head on most of my guys, what treatments I did, what wounds they had, what they looked like, what their vital signs were before I put them on the bird, what drugs I pushed, everything. I can tell you, I can go through that. And I replay that a lot. And that's my doubt. But the lie I told myself was, I don't have a problem with that. All right, I don't struggle with these things. I'm the medic. I'm the one who has to take care of everybody else. I'm the one who has to make sure they're also emotionally all right after we lose a friend. I'm the one who has to take care of them to make sure that we can continue the mission. But I wasn't looking after myself as well. And that's where I have struggled, let's say. So what does denial do? It disables our feelings. So we're stuffing our feelings down. We're not facing them, we're stuffing them down. And I did that for so many years with this. I just stuffed them down. I'm all right, I got this, right? And that's what I did for a long, long time. And it manifested itself in other ways. Instead of thinking you're fine, it manifested itself in anger, bitterness. Energy lost. So you start worrying sometimes about the past, the future. You fear the future. And that is, as we say, you know, worrying is just not fully putting your trust in God. And the fear of the future, you just don't want to, you fear changing. You fear change. And you might fear the change of what you're like without this sin, this thing you're holding on to. Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and reaching forward to what lies ahead." So you don't want to worry about what's going to lie ahead. You want to let God have that. You don't want to fear it. But you also don't, he wants you to not worry about your past, not struggle with it, but he wants you, you need to remember it so you can learn from it, but not focus on it. You don't want to focus on it. You just want to learn from your past. So it also negates the growth, negates your growth. So we have a saying in Sierra is, you're only as sick as your secrets. So whatever secrets you're holding on to, that's how sick you are. And the more you struggle with these things, the more you pull in more secrets and you keep hidden from others. And honestly, what does God tell you? Your secrets are going to be revealed. He's going to shine a light on it. He's going to bring it to truth. He's going to bear it out eventually. It also isolates us from God. So in Genesis 3, 7 through 8, this is what it says. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden and in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So what happened? Adam and Eve sinned, right? The sin. As my son says, we wouldn't have to do laundry if they wouldn't have bit from the apple. All right? That is, well, my son actually said that, which is probably true, right? But what did they do? They covered up. They hid. They distanced themselves from God. What did Adam do, too? He blamed God first. The woman you gave to me gave me the fruit. And what else did he do? He blamed the woman, too. But whose responsibility was it? It was his responsibility. He was the man of that relationship. God put him as responsible for him. And so he was the one responsible for what happened there. And what else does it do? It alienates us from our other relationships. As we distance ourselves from God, we distance ourselves from other relationships. We may not want them to see what's going on in us or what we are doing, so we're pushing away. And we're hiding. Whenever we're doing our dirty little secret, we're hiding and doing it in the darkness, right? By ourselves. So you're pushing people away from you as you do the pain, as you're doing these things that are keeping you back. And then the last one is lengthens the pain. We can't heal wounds by saying they're not there, right? So if you're sitting there bleeding on the ground, you can't heal it and just say, nah, that's not there, I'm good, bro, and just walk on, right? And while you're dragging a stump out down the road, all right, that's not going to heal that. Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to heal. But it's not going to stop bleeding unless you take care of it. Now, what I teach guys now, I teach trauma, hands-on trauma, right? So I teach my guys to put stop gaps on the stuff that they grab, you know, where it's bleeding right above, you know, where the arteries come out, and they grab and hold pressure there. They put a knee on it, whatever they got to do to get that blood to slow down till they can get control of something else that's going on that might kill this patient at that moment. Those are meant to be temporary stop gaps, right? And we do that the same thing with our pains, with our hurts. We'll put temporary things on that are meant to be temporary. But how long can you hold that stopgap for? I will tell you, I've held a massive bleed. And you start you actually hit muscle failure pretty quickly doing that because you're putting a lot of pressure in there, up in the groin, especially in the groin where it's hard to get to that femoral artery. You're putting a lot of pressure in there. You're going to hit muscle failure fast. And guess what? You're going to start bleeding again. So that's the same thing with those temporary stopgaps we put on our pain. You're going to start bleeding again eventually. You're going to start bleeding out. You're going to start hurting other people again. Because what do? They hurt people, right? Your pain will cause you to lash out. So the next thing, next bullet is playing God. We play God. What does that mean? So doing the work that God is meant to do in you. You're trying to do it. You're trying to control it. That's God's job. You got to let go. The flesh is weak. So in Mark 14:38, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what else gets in the way, and this got in my way for quite a few years, is my pride. The pride of, I got this, I can do this. And you know what's funny is we're talking about this in Sunday school. I didn't even see the Sunday school lesson because I was working on this, all right? And I come into Sunday school and I almost went to Bill and go, hey, did you read my sermon, man? Because it's like half of my sermon right there. But my pride stopped me for, I believe it was 10 years before I finally got help, because I was saying, I got this, I can do this. No, oh no, I failed each time. But it took me that long to finally say, okay, I need help. I'm stubborn, all right? I'm stubborn. Sorry, I just lost my place. Okay, so Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride will bring him low, but his humble spirit will obtain honor. So worrying and not relying on God is the next thing. So we're worrying that God can't handle this. He doesn't have this. He can't do this. Only I got this. That's that control issue again, right? So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Matthew 6:34. So like we like to say in, I think, a lot of recovery groups, honestly, but what we like to say is living one day at a time. And what I like to add on to there sometimes is one moment at a time, because that struggle, that temptation is at you at that moment. You're just trying to get through that moment of what is tempting you. Whatever it is, you're just trying to get on that next moment, and you just got to keep your eyes focused on God. Amen. Pray. I always say for my temptation of sexual sin, I always have the verse, flee from all sexual immorality. And then in my head, Monty Python's The Holy Grail comes into my head and goes, run away, run away, right? And that's kind of makes me giggle and makes me laugh and think about, get that thought that hit my head, my mind, out of there. So the next thing we need to do is stop playing, that hinders us, is stop playing church. Matthew 6:34, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So, what are you playing church at? We all struggle with this at some point, either daily sometimes, or at some moment. We all struggle with it. What are we letting the world take over in our lives? Over what we should be focusing on God. And I got on here, this came to me, are your eyes on God or is he just in your peripheral vision? Luke 12:24, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So trying to keep your eyes on the Lord and everything you do. So the second point, let's examine yourself with God to find out what is hindering you. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us examine and probe our ways and let us return to the Lord. So, Celebrate Recovery calls it hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And we have definitions for both, which I'll go over. So the first thing is a hurt. Hurts are emotional reactions to another person's behavior or to a disturbing situation. So anything that causes you pain, that emotionally, physically, whatever the case may be, that is a hurt. So it can come from anything. It can be any kind of abuse. If it's abuse, it was not your fault that that happened, right? It is that person who abused you's fault, and sometimes you hold on to that and you think of it as your fault, or you hold on to that unforgiveness, and that is where you can't get past with that. It could be what others have said or done to us intentionally or unintentionally. It could have been something that we've said to each other that has caused the hurt. It could be something that's perceived, not even meant that way, it's just perceived that way, that has caused that pain inside you. And also, it could be just situations, medical illnesses, trauma, emotionally and physically, that can cause these hurts, right? So next thing is habits. What habits are consuming you? So habits are unhealthy or addictive relationships with someone or something. So what are some of the habits that can be? Technology, your phones. How many people sit there? I catch myself doing it too. Sit there on their phone. I'm playing Sudoku right now, even though I can't do math very well. I'm playing Sudoku, and I sometimes get zoned in on that and ignore everything else that's going on around me. We've got to focus on our family and God, and this technology is sometimes grabbing us and pulling us away. TV, how much or what are you watching? Again, another struggle of mine. All right. I don't always watch the right things. Sometimes I watch some stuff that isn't, that God would not approve of. Would God approve of this? Can I let my son watch this with me? If not, it should be something I should think about, right? But this is a struggle in my life. For real, it is. There could be nicotine use, alcohol, drugs, codependency. So codependency, you're finding your addiction in a relationship, whatever it might be. You're wanting to get that love from them, that affirmation from that relationship, and that's what you need. So you're doing everything to appease this person. There could be lying, sexual integrity. Even a healthy habit can turn unhealthy. For example, like I said the other night, is working out. So if you're going to the gym so much that you're ignoring your family, ignoring going to Wednesday night service, whatever the case is, if you're hitting the gym so much that you're taking away from your family time and your time with God, that as well can be something that can, even though it's a healthy habit, you've taken it just that step over the line that has turned it into an unhealthy habit. So a lot of these sins, I call them sins of idolatry. You're turning something into an idol. So an idol is anything that takes your focus away from God, right? 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." We're supposed to flee from it and keep our eyes on God. So what are hang-ups? Hang-ups, negative mental attitude that are used to cope with people or adversity. There we go. I got it out. All right. So these are the things, the walls you build to your hurts, the pains. What can they be? They can be anger. For me, the anger comes from my deployments as well, which I'll get into in a minute. Bitterness, gossip, depression, anxiety, self-worth, critical spirit, guilt, and the list goes on. Really, it does. It's any emotional thing that you are using to protect yourself from getting hurt again. For me, right now, my anger, my guilt, my doubt from when I was downrange, did I push the right drug? Did I catch the bleeding in time? Did I find everything? Did I miss something? Because I have lost friends. I have lost my buddies that I worked on downrange that I treated that did not make it. But I got to remind myself all the time that it was not my decision. It was God's decision on whether or not he was going to make it. He gave me the knowledge, the power, the know-how to do what I know how to do. But like I tell my guys in the schoolhouse, you can't save them all. But that's easier said than done, to swallow that pill sometimes when it's your friend. You can't save them all. And I still live with some of that guilt of, did I do everything I could? Did I miss anything? Did I miss that little hole in the back, maybe, that had that he was sucking in air into his chest and causing his lung to collapse? Did I miss that? That ended up killing him down the road. Did I miss a little bleed somewhere that I just didn't see? Did I miss a head injury that drove him to have increased intracranial pressure that caused him to have something else? These are things that I ask myself all the time. Or did I not push the right drug at the right time and all this stuff? Even though I know, because I teach this stuff every day, every day I teach this stuff, minus Saturday and Sunday. And I know going through that I did do what I was trained to do, but guess what? That fear, that doubt, that guilt still creeps in, and that's when I've got to go, God, I know this is you wanting to, I know that you want me to rely on you, and this was not my call to make, it was yours. So, again, hurt people, right? So if sometimes it's anger, you lash out on people, the bitterness you hold on to, the unforgiveness. Even if you've been abused, that unforgiveness can make you stay and linger in that abuse. It's hard. It is hard. I'm not going to say it's easy. It is hard to forgive the person who perpetrated that against you. It's not an easy thing to do. But from what I've seen, the people who have forgiven the person who's done that, they have been freed from that. They have been freed. They have the joy of life ahead of them instead of thinking about all that had happened. So what is the next thing we do? We need to rely on God. We need to admit that you are powerless. So the first thing we're going to talk about is principle one. The way we are set up, we have 8 principles that are out of the Beatitudes. And then we got the 12 steps that are also have verses that correspond with those as well. But the first principle is realize I am not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendencies to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. And the Beatitude with that is Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, what do we have to do? What does that say? Realize that I'm not God. Let go of that pride, right? That you've got this. Let go of that control. And that just admit that your life is unmanageable. What does Paul say in Romans 7, I'm thinking about 13, 14, that he has the want to do what is right, but his will is weak. And he always does what is wrong, right? That is the flesh. That is a paraphrase, by the way. And that is what Paul is talking about in that, is his flesh is weak, so that is where your life is unmanageable, is your flesh is weak, and you want to do what is wrong, but God, with God's help, that is where you can do what is right. Stop denying the pain. Stop denying it's not there. Stop denying that wound. Stop putting stop gaps on your wounds. All right? It's going to hurt for a little while as you work on them. It is. It's going to hurt. It's going to stink. It's not very fun. But as you work through them, you're going to start to be free of them. As you look and face your pain, it's going to start to go away because you're leaning on God. You're giving your pain to Christ. What does Christ say? Take up my yoke, which is light, and he'll take up ours, which is heavy, right? Psalm 6:2-3. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed and my soul is greatly dismayed. But you, O Lord, how long? So, given all that pain to Christ, right? Stop playing God. Like I said, I did this for many, many years. All right? Let go and let God is like what we like to say. It does sound cliche. Well, it is a cliche. But it's an awesome one, right? Let go and let God. Let God take control of your life. You got to let it go. It is so easy for us to hold on to stuff. We want to hold on and grab on and control what is going on around us because that is where we feel safe. We got to control it. But God doesn't want us to. He wants to control it. He wants the control over everything because that is his job. It is not your job. It is his job. So you got to let go and let God. The second point, you are never alone. You have the church body to help you through all of this. You have accountability partners. You need accountability partners through this. And also in recovery groups and in NCR, we have sponsors as well who are just someone who's closer to you, who gets to know you better, that you can be transparent with. A lot more transparent, that will help guide you through situations, and when you fall, might say, dude, what up, right? And pick you back up, though, but lovingly pull you back in. But you need accountability partners. Ecclesiastes 7:5. My adrenaline's going, so that's why I'm kind of cottonmouth. Ecclesiastes 7:5. It is better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man than for one to listen to the song of fools. So you want to find accountability partners that are further along than you, that are more mature than you. But you also want to have accountability partners can also be the same level as you as well, that are helping you out. But you want to at least have one that is a little more spiritually mature than you, that you can trust to tell you that hard truth, right? That hard, hey, dude, you're screwing up here. You need to come back, pull you back in. Sometimes that's love, is saying, dude, you're messing up. You need to stop. That is love. All right, that is love right there. And then in Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, two are better than one because they are good. They have a good return for their labor. For either of them falls, one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls where there is not another one to lift him up. So if you're alone through this, how can you, if you trip and fall, how can you lift yourself up all the time? What if happens if you break, both legs? Oh, no, you can't stand up now. All right? I got a lot of medical terms, sorry. It's just my brain. What happens, if you hurt yourself, you can't always pick yourself up on your own. You need someone there. If you trip, they might catch you before you fall, before you fall all the way down and skin that knee, right? That's what your accountability partners are there for. That's what your sponsors can be there for, is to help pick you up before you fall, hopefully. But if you do fall, lift you up, right? Because we still mess up. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Again, with having that partners there to help you out, to bring you in, it's going to help you strive to be that more godly man, to be more Christ-like. And that's where that iron sharpens iron is. So the next thing is that I say will help you with the church body is keeping fed, right? Being in God's Word, because you are never alone if you're in God's Word. God is always with you. He is there with you all the time. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproofing, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may adequately equip for every good work. Well, may be adequately equipped for every good work. I've got an important little word in there. All right, so the Scriptures help you in a lot of things. They help teach you. They tell you when to rebuke someone. They tell you how to train someone righteously, how to live righteously. It tells you, it gives, it's like, what does the pastor said? This is basically your instruction manual for life, right? It tells you everything in here, how to live. It says everything you need to know. You just got to read it. And every time you read it, you always find something that you didn't know before. He reveals something every time. Another thing that, and we stress this in CR a lot, is service. John 13:14-15, if I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. So service is not only a way of helping the body, but it is also a way of filling that void that sin or that hindrance has spent so much time in your life. That is what service will do. It's a good, healthy, clean thing to fill a void. Because if you don't fill that void with something, it's going to come back. And sometimes, a lot of times, I can tell you from experience, it comes back worse. So you need to fill the void with something good. And what's better than serving God, serving your church body? And it makes you feel good too, honestly, when you do it. So you're never alone because God's always with you. In Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is always there, right? He knows everything. He sees everything you do. He knows it. He sees it. You got to remember that. We tend to forget that he is always there sometimes. The Holy Spirit, once you believe and you give your life up to Jesus, he gives you the Holy Spirit. That is something else that you will always have with you, wherever you go, once you believe in Christ. In John 14:16-17, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Again, the Holy Spirit, once you put your trust and faith in Christ, that he died for your sins, that he made you white as snow, as in that video. Which, awesome video, by the way, right? The Holy Spirit, is always with you. That is that voice in there going, you shouldn't be doing this, right? In your head, that people say it's the conscious, it's the Holy Spirit going, dude. I say dude a lot, and I'm from kind of the West, all right? But, dude, you shouldn't be doing this, all right? What are you doing? What are you thinking? I'm pretty sure he has. God, all right? Slap you on the head, all right? Because you are doing something stupid, and you know you're doing it. You just can't stop or won't stop, all right? Your next step, your hope in Christ. So Christ, he paid for our sins. As the video again says, he made us white as snow. I love that video. I'm not an emotionally person. It takes a lot to get me emotional. And that video says a lot when I almost get a tear in my eye, all right? For me, because I am not an emotional person. I've stuffed my emotions for so many years that I don't think I know how to sometimes, all right? But he made us clean. He made us clean and white as snow, right? So come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. That is Isaiah 1:18, right? He paid for our sin. And that's what it's talking about right there. He made us, he used that blood, that scarlet blood, made us white as snow. All right? That blood that he shed on the Christ has cleaned us. He took all our garbage, all our junk, all our pain, all our anguish, everything, all our doubts, our weaknesses, and he put them on him. He took it all so that we may be with God. Because before we accepted Christ, we couldn't be with him, because God can't be what? He's holy, right? So he cannot be near anything unholy. Christ's blood has made us holy. He has made us to be able to be in relationship with God. He paid that ultimate sacrifice so we can enjoy and worship one day up in heaven and just get to see there and worship for ever. All right? God. He shows his never-ending love for us. So, but God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with us, he loved, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So, there is nothing you can do or have done or ever will do once you accept Christ that will ever take that love away from you. He loves you no matter what. Who else can you say that about? All right? Even our spouses sometimes don't love us because they want to beat us. All right? They are angry at us because of something stupid we did. Trust me, I do it all the time. All right? I'm not going to lie. I'm an idiot all the time when it comes to marriage. All right? There are times, but God, no matter what, loves us, no matter what you've done. He will always wrap his arms around you no matter what. So, let me ask you these questions. What is hindering you from running the race? What is holding you back? What is that bungee cord keeping you from touching that wall? And trust me, that stunk when you got pulled backwards. What is holding you back? What are your hurts? What are your habits? What are your hang-ups? What are the walls you're building? What are the things that are taking your life over? What are your idols? What is keeping you away from God? What is keeping you away from your family? What do you want God to work on? You got to ask these questions. What are you trying to control? What are you playing church? Are you being that Sunday Christian? Are you not living the life where you live one life here in front of everybody else, but you go to work and you live another life? I struggle with that sometimes. My mouth, especially. I struggle with that because I spent so many years in the military where I swear I cuss more than a sailor, all right? It is, and I've told my students, especially recently, I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, let me know if I slip. I told them that. Let me know if I slip and I cuss because I am trying to stop because of my convictions. I am trying to stop, but I still make mistakes. And my students are like, cool, hey, cool, yeah, I'll let you know, sir. But some, you know, they may tell me that. They're scared of me, even though, I mean, look at me. Who's be scared of, right? But they're scared of me because they're afraid I'm going to fail them. So I know sometimes they're not going to always tell me. But it is also showing that my convictions to them that I love Christ and I'm there for Christ. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to strive to be more like him. What do you need to let him take control of? Let God and let go, right? Are you not always keeping your eyes on Christ? What do you need to confess? What do you need to stop making provisions for? What do you need to make amends to? Or who do you need to make amends to? Who do you need to forgive? So if you're ready to get serious with these and you need some help and accountability to work through these hindrances and your sins, come join us on Thursday evening. You're all more than welcome to come. All right? But if you come, I want you to give it a shot. You know, give it a shot to stay with us. Stick with us. Give it a shot. Because we have a blast too. All right? We are a little nuts, but we do have a blast. All right? And I'll get into kind of what a Thursday evening is for us real fast. But if you have any questions, you can talk to me. You can talk to Melissa, my co-director, right? She's in charge of the ladies. You can do that. You can talk to us and find out. So, a Thursday night sometimes, what a typical Thursday night is. Fellowship meal. We have a fellowship meal. And that is if you come from home from work and you're like, I don't know if I can make it home to eat. We have a meal so you can come and eat so you can't, one, so you don't have an excuse for not showing up, all right? And sometimes that is, for some people, they are so snared by their addictions that they've spent all their money. That might be the only meal they get that day. All right, so we have this meal to help. And it's also a good time to talk to others and have some fellowship time. The large group, we come in, we worship God first. Then we talk about our eight principles. We quote our eight principles and we give, just basically like a normal church service, we give our offerings, and then we go over a lesson or a testimony, and we switch. Sometimes they're live testimonies, sometimes they're video testimonies from other Celebrate Recoveries, but they're all powerful testimonies of what God has done for people, dragging them from the pits, of the miry pit, and up to Him. And then we got what we call open share groups. Those are the small groups. They're gender-specific small groups. Right now we have two, and male and female, because we're still kind of small. As we get bigger, we're going to, you know, have more. But that is where you get some time to share what your feelings are, what is going on in your life, what God is doing in your life, what you are trying to control, so on and so forth. And you also can discuss what that lesson was about and how you're struggling with that step, because our lessons are the steps. And then we have dessert. We call it, I can't remember. Crosstalk Cafe, thank you. I couldn't remember, so I just put desserts up there. All right, Crosstalk Cafe, where you come in and you can talk. Just fellowship again, right? And there are times we're there till 9 o'clock, even though we get done at 8, 8:30. We're there till 9 o'clock talking to each other. And we enjoy it. We enjoy each other. We enjoy our time. But the great thing about CR, this is a place where it's perfectly safe to be who you are, to share your pains and hurts. And guess what? It's anonymous and confidential. So you don't have to worry about someone walking out and airing your dirt. It's all, we give all our glory to God when we have victories over something. So as we close and we get ready to do our invitation, I'd like you guys to pray and ask those questions I asked at the end. And if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, come out to me, come out to one of the deacons, come to Melissa, come to my wife, come to anybody to ask about the Lord and how you can accept Him in your life. And I ask that you come up here and pray to God what you can let go of, that hindrance. All right? So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you give us those hindrances which are holding us back, those sins, and just help us to see them so that we can work on them. Just give us at least one right now, Lord, that we can work on, and that you can let us, that we can give to you at the cross, Lord, and that you can take from us. Just give us at least one right now. We know that you will take more as we work on it, Lord. And just give us this one right now. And if anybody in here does not know you, Lord, we ask that they just give their heart to you, give their lives over to you, Lord, so that they may be free from whatever their hurts, habits, or hang-ups are, and let them give them to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.